Blog Talk Radio.
CP2.
the Los Angeles Clippers have not made it out of the second round. So CP1, will he opt out? Should he opt out? Are they a bigger disappointment than the Washington Capitals? Now, the Capitals technically are not out of it, but they're taking on Sidney Crosby, the best player in hockey since Wayne Gretzky. Are they the biggest disappointment? Who is the biggest disappointment? WWE paid back was last night. Tonight, where we'll talk about the Raw preview of that. We talked about it last night on Perfect Plex Talk Radio, the post show. We discussed it, all that, and what will happen on the program. We will get into that and some more. But as always, I'm not here by myself. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear the voice of the crew, as this is the Soul in Sports with Mike Knox and the crew. So as always, I can bring into you, I like to call him Papa Knox. Or that's wrong. That's not what I can call him, actually. I'm Papa Knox. But Papa Richmond, because Emmy Richmond on Twitter, he is. What's going on, Micah?
Papa Knox could never be me because there's only one Mike Knox in the place to be. There may be a Mike Knox the third, but hey, man, we ain't gonna be hearing from him until for another 10 years. We'll be hearing from him, and he's gonna be yelling just like his daddy because as his daddy, he will be hearing his heart
for him. He's only number two. He's only number two.
I thought he was three.
He's number two. I'm number one. Well, I'm number two. He's number two.
You're one. See, I was always under the impression that you were two.
No. I'm the first, the originator, the end all to be all to the Knox clan. He is number two. Okay. And I told him that when he has a son, that he must name him the third. Is that wrong for you to put that pressure on my son? Would you put that pressure on your son, who is also a number two?
Oh no, he's got to go three. He's got to go three. It's only right. I feel that I would have been a fifth of my father. I would have been a fifth. I plead the amendment so you don't incriminate yourself. I would have been a fifth, and I ended up changing from that. That doesn't mean I can't start my own legacy of ending up having a fifth.
Really?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, I had the option when I was younger to change my name, and my mom was going to let me change my name, and I was either going to take on my father's name and be a fifth, or I was just going to be the Emmy Richmond you know and love today. I decided to be the Emmy Richmond you know and love today, and that become a fifth. And not to get that confused with liquor, but a fifth in name, in name change.
Well, first of all, there's something wrong with a fifth of liquor, okay? I can do a fifth. I may not be able to drive after that fifth, okay? I guarantee you one thing, Mrs. Knox will know why I'm called hardcore if I had a fifth. You understand what I'm saying, brother?
Well, there you go. Brother, I didn't watch a lot of sports this weekend, but I've watched a lot of calls and highlights, and I got a chance to watch some payback and things like that. I had a very busy weekend, had a life happen, and let me tell you, some interesting things that happened, and I can't wait for Perfect Plex because I actually am satisfied with the Raw pay-per-view.
Well, you know what? If you were here last night, which you wasn't, because now you're Papa Richmond, and you get all tired and stuff like that, okay? You would have been here last night when we talked about the payback pay-per-view. We'll talk about that later as we get into Talk Perfect Plex Talk Radio. But also, welcome to the program. We like to call him Wale. He's from the DMV. He better have some ID because they will lock your black ass up. I've been watching. Okay, ready for this one? I've been watching Dear White People all day. And I like the show, personally. But welcome to the program right now. Our man Wale from the Urban Sports Scene. What's going on, Wally?
What's good, fellas? Everything is copacetic, man. Everything's cool. You know, it's kind of humid out here, though. That's the only thing that's getting me. Humid. I don't like humid weather. I don't like hot weather. I like cold weather. I don't know why.
You're in
cold
the D&B. You're in the D&B. I'm in Florida. Trust me, it's hotter here than it is where you are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but you know, we get that humidity over here. I don't know. I know Florida is hot, but we get that hard to breathe air.
It's a lot hotter right here. As my wife checks into the Knox Studios, she's looking through the glass, and may I add one thing, because what rhymes with glass is me tapping at, you know what I'm saying, but she needs to stop doing that while I'm live on Facebook Live and on the air right here. 347-637-3859 is in particular. Wally, how has been your weekend?
Weekend's been great, man. My weekend was good. I spent a lot of time with my nephew and my nieces. It's been more of a childlike weekend, to be honest with you. But everything is good. I'm blessed. I'm breathing. I get an opportunity to spend time with my family, so I can't complain.
My wife needs to stop right now. This is our studio. Wally, you had something that I wish I'd have went to last year. I'm going to try to get a plane ticket fly up there this year. You got a big event going on for those who did not make it to their prom and want to relive their prom. What is that going on? And what is that?
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. So June 24th, we have an event called the Do-Over. So it's pretty much an adult prom. So if you didn't make your prom when you were, you know, in high school, or you didn't like your prom and you want to do it all over again, well, you got an opportunity to do it as an adult. We're going to throw it up. We're going to have it in downtown Silver Spring in Maryland from 10 to 2. It's an opportunity just to kind of, you know, relive prom. And you can, the blessing of it, if you're married, like yourself, Mike, you can have that moment with your wife. If, you know, you want to be single, it's never wrong going to the prom single. You can meet people. So it's for everybody. It's not just for couples and not just for single folks or whatever. It's for everybody. Just have a good time. The most important thing is to have a good time.
How can they get tickets for this event, Wally?
You can check it out by going to www.eventbrite.tdioprom.com.
There you have it, people. Listen, because I know one thing. I'm older than my wife. Okay, y'all know that. I am from Chicago. I am an R. Kelly fan. My wife is a lot younger than I am. I did not make it to her prom, so something like this for me will be great. Like you said, for singles as well, if you're out there in the DMV area, go out there, have some nice drinks, dress up nice. Listen, guys, do not come in here with a baseball cap on and a rusty t-shirt like I have right now on Facebook Live. My Warrior t-shirt, okay? That will be accepted in some circles, but show out tonight, okay? It's a good event. Dress up. It's okay to dress up, okay? I believe in dressing up more for this than dressing up to go to church, okay? Go to church as you are, okay? I don't know where all these big hats came from and the nice shoes, especially little short eyes, but all of a sudden guys wear to church. Sorry. If your tie does not hit your belly button, you should not wear it, unless it's a bow tie. That's my opinion, okay? I'm going to stick with that right there. Micah, this weekend, we had a lot of things in sports take place. The NFL draft, we talked about on Friday. We had WWE Payback this weekend as well that took place. But we had this boxing match. And I'm going to do this later about the state of the heavyweight division in boxing. But did you get a chance to check out this heavyweight fight? Because you kind of ruined it for me as you watched it earlier in the day and I waited for HBO instead of waiting and watching it at Showtime at the 4 o'clock hour. What did you think about this quote-unquote greatest heavyweight fight of all time, which, by the way, I didn't think it was the greatest heavyweight fight of all time?
Well, we live in an age of hyperbole, and if it's not the greatest or the worst of all time, if it's not a GOAT or a WOAT of all time, then no one cares about it. You have to put that label on it in order for people to actually pay attention. All I care about when I watch boxing is, am I entertained and is it competitive? And by the way, what I spoiled for you was kind of like the call in the ending. I didn't mean to spoil it for you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. But I will say,
you pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. You pissed me off. I'm going to tell you why you pissed me off. Because I stayed away on purpose from this, you know, off of social media on purpose because I knew that it was earlier in the day. But I myself, being the, I don't know, idiot that I am, right? I can say that. It's my show, right? 347-637-3859. The idiot that I am, I waited for the fight to happen at 11 o'clock at night, which I thought came on at 10 o'clock at night, so I was really bad when it came on at 11 o'clock, to watch this fight. And Klitschko gets knocked down. He comes back the very next round and knocks down Anthony Joshua. But my complaint about this fight is the over-hypeness. It's the barbershop. We can make a ball more than a barbershop. the overhypeness of this fight and how instantly classic it was being named by one Max Kellerman of the four letter of ESPN network. Wally, did you see this fight? Max Kellerman hyped this fight and even compared it being better. This is what pissed me off. Better than Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield. What horse trash was this?
Well, it's crazy. I'm gonna try to watch. I missed the fight. I missed both versions. I'm gonna try to catch it today. But you know, like just like Micah said, everybody lives in the moment, and no one really kind of registers the past. And it's hard to believe that it could be better than Riddick Bowe, Evander Holyfield in terms of heavyweight. That was a classic fight, and all three of them were really good. So, in my opinion, I doubt it could be better than that. But I'm gonna check it out. I mean, anytime you got a young guy who's 19-0 and Anthony Joshua, and you got Klitschko who owned this division for so many years, and no, obviously he lost his last two fights, but I mean, including this one, think, all right, it was a competitive fight. You had some knockdowns into the fight. He got TKO'd at 11. You're gonna think to yourself like, all right, this had to be a special fight. Matter of fact, I did have a friend of mine who also was on my show. He texted me quick and he was like, yeah, this fight was awesome. It's like one of the best. He said one of the best heavyweight fights he's seen in a while. Didn't say the best of all time. So I know it's a good fight, but to Micah's point again, usually people say that because they live in the moment. We're creatures in the moment. We're people, like, as human beings, we always live in the moment. So I can't imagine it being better than Holyfield and Bowe. I doubt that. And that's, I may be sorry. I just doubt it.
You know what? You know what gets me about this fight, Micah and Wally, was it was good. It was memorably as far as recent heavyweight fights are concerned. But my problem with this fight between Klitschko and Anthony Joshua was that when you compare fights to Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson Holyfield. That's just recent memory in the 90s. Let's go back further than that, then Ali Foreman, things like that. Just because one guy gets knocked down, the other guy comes back, knocks him down, doesn't make it an instant classic. That just means two guys got hit by two super heavyweights and touched the canvas. That doesn't make it a great fight. Am I saying this fight wasn't good? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it wasn't the greatest of all time. We'll put a nickel in the meter right now on that as we right now talk to DMV Sports. And what I want to do right now, guys, is right now, the Baltimore Orioles, the Washington Nationals, we are a DMV radio station, are playing good baseball, as well as my Chicago Cubs. Of course, I'm going to get that in there because I'm a Cubs fan. Okay, but right now, I got to be honest. The hottest team in baseball has to be the Washington Nationals. And right now, we have our own Fox Sports Radio, Steven calling in right now. It's Steven FZN _ on Twitter calling in right now. Our Fox Sports beat writer for the Washington Nationals. What's going on, Steven? How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm pretty good.
Thank you for calling in right now to the Soul and Sports and being a part of the program. We are the flagship show for Fox Sports Radio. We've been going on since day one of this radio program. You have guys like Bryce Harper. You have guys right now just dominating the scene. Bryce Harper, 26 runs scored. I think I'm number two in the month alone right now. How do you see the Washington Nationals looking forward to the Chicago Cubs right now? Are they right now, the way they're playing with this offense, the team to beat?
I'm going to say the Washington Nationals are the team to beat. Yesterday, the Nationals beat the Mets 22-5. They had 23 hits, and they scored on all of their hits. They've scored over 12 runs in 5 games in the last 2.5 weeks. They're clearly the hottest team, batting-wise and maybe pitching-wise, in the whole league right now.
Now, as a Washington Nationals beat writer, you're watching this team, you're seeing what they're doing right now, and I know this is a month into the season, and baseball, out of any sport, is the longest season to, you know, focus on and get hype over, and obviously, me being the Cubs fan will get hype over anything, but when you're scoring runs, that to me, they always say good pitching wins out. To me, good bets went out. And right now, the Washington National bets are as hot as I think I can remember seeing. You got them running with 11 home runs through the first month right now. Do you see any pitchers stopping this dominant Washington Nationals lineup right now, as hot as these bets are?
Honestly, right now, I see no pitcher beating the Nationals. I think it will take a whole pitching staff throughout a series to really slow down this team. But just in one game situation, I see no pitchers right now stopping the Nationals.
So when you look at the Washington Nationals right now, man, you have Adam Eaton does go down. Can the pitching be enough to keep the other bets cold while these bets are hot right now? They go in and they got the Phillies this week, I believe, as well as the Giants. Am I correct? Is that what's looking for the Washington Nationals this week?
This week, I think they have a 3 or 4 game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Mets. Diamondbacks, and I think we face the Mets towards the end of the week as well.
How do you see they're matching up with? Besides the Phillies losing that game where the Dodgers came back. Was that 3 back-to-back-to-back home runs in that game to beat the Phillies to stop the Phillies 7-game winning streak? No one thinks the Philadelphia Phillies will be here. They're playing above their heads. This is what I love about baseball. We have young guys that are playing and don't really see or understand the magnitude of what's going on. They're just out there trying to, keep their jobs right now. This is a rivalry, Washington-Philadelphia. It goes back to
right.
football. We're going to translate it into baseball, but these two teams still hate each other. You had Jason Worth leave the Phillies and go to the Nationals. Is this a rivalry that, even though it's early in the season, as baseball purists and as baseball fans, Steven, we should look forward to this series?
Yes, I think we should look forward to this series because during the first series against Washington, Philadelphia, maybe in the second week of the season, Philadelphia blew out the Nationals. It was embarrassing. I think they scored about over 15 runs on us. Then last week, the Nationals came back and blew them out. So it's back and forth. It's a lot of heavyweight punches, and it's pretty much like a boxing fight. It's a lot of swinging. It's a lot of good pitching. And through these series, there's a lot of winning from both sides. So it's pretty much even right now.
So right now, if you had to pick the best team in the National League, Steven, and that's Steven, SDN_ on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. He's a brilliant writer for 1340amfoxsports.com. Who do you think right now is the best team in the NFC? I'm going to say NFC East right now, but National League East.
The best team in the National League East?
Yes.
Almost the Nationals. Not because of the record, but just because of our dominance outside of our division. Of course, the divisional matchup's going to be even, but outside of our division with the Colorado, they scored over 12 runs in 3 straight games in a road game. Their last 10-game road running streak, they went 9-1. So right now, the Nationals are the most dominant team, but of course, we still have a couple months to go before the season really gets hot. So I'm looking at the Nationals right now.
Now, I got to ask you this, being the Washington Nationals beat writer for them, the talk still has to surround the team. This is what we do as media. This is what's going on in the world that we live in today. A lot of speculation that, Bryce Harper, he can opt out after this season. Let me ask you your professional opinion. Do you think he stays with Washington, win or lose a World Series, or not, or does he move on to greener pastures, which most people are saying, the New York Yankees?
Personally and professionally, I think the outcome of the postseason would determine Bryce Harper will stay or leave. If we get past the first series and we maybe go to the World Series, yes, he will stay. But if they choke again in the first round in the first series, I think he will probably go to the Yankees in the offseason.
Are you a fan of the one and done in the first round of the playoffs in Major League Baseball? Because I know I can't stand it. You play your ass off all season long. You get to the playoffs and it's one game. Are you a fan of that system?
Personally, I'm not a fan of the system. But professionally, baseball has the smallest ratio of teams that can go to the playoffs. So maybe having that one and done series or that one wild card game, it seems like it's very unfair. But on paper, and once you've got the numbers, it's fair enough.
Well, Steven, let me ask you this quick before I let you go. We are short here on time. I get to a commercial break. 1340 AM Fox Sports, 96.9 FM as well. We moved our way to the FM dial. You look at the Washington Nationals. Like you said, you got Arizona this week. You got Philadelphia. How do you see them coming out this week with those two teams?
most likely the Nationals could come out this next week undefeated for the next two series, or they could probably drop one game. So they could pretty much dominate every single game they will have this week.
Do you think they're going to go undefeated for the rest of the week?
Yeah, I think they can go undefeated for the rest of the week. It's possible. They almost did it last week, and I think they can do it again this week.
Wow. Well, Steven, thank you for calling in. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you next Monday as we're back on to see if that actually comes to fruition, if they can sweep their way through the Arizona Cardinals and sweep their way through the Philadelphia Phillies. Wally, you also cover the Washington, D.C. area. You got any questions for Steven right now that pertain to the Washington Nationals, although you're an Orioles fan?
No. I pay attention. Yeah. As about the Nationals, how do you feel about, you know, Ryan Zimmerman, a guy who's had to battle so many injuries, a guy who's been the face of the organization? It's pretty good to see. It feels good to me as a fan of the guy to see him play at a high level, like the guy that, you know, was deemed the Bryce Harper before Bryce Harper got here. How do you feel about Ryan Zimmerman? Do you think he can consistently play at this level?
I think right now he can consistently play at this level. Right now he has 27 RBIs, 11 home runs, and a .410 batting average that all leads the team. And I think this is probably one of the best seasons I've seen out of Ryan Zimmerman in a Washington Nationals uniform. And I think this is just a start for probably a record-breaking season career-wise for him.
Yeah, and do you think that plays a part because of his – do you think he struggled over the last couple of years because of the position change or injuries? Because he's always had to deal with nagging injuries.
I think it's injuries because a healthy Ryan Zimmerman is a dangerous Ryan Zimmerman. And him being so healthy, and hopefully he stays that way, he plays his best.
About Anthony Rendon, he had 2 of 6 for 6, 3 home runs. Do you think now this is going to catapult him to, you know, hitting the way he's supposed to hit? Because he's supposed to be like a 300 hitter, and he struggled beginning most of the season. Now all of a sudden he's kind of hot. Do you think that now he's going to be that constant hitter that we all accustomed to seeing him hit?
Yes, I think he can surely be a constant hitter. Sometimes it depends on the pitcher, but majority of the time, I think he can come to the clutch and provide some confident hitting for the team.
All right. Well, he answered my question. Sounds good to me.
I'm all about the Cubs, and you know that. For those who don't know, I am a Chicagoan true and through to my blood, to my core. But, Steven, thank you for calling in very much. How can they follow you on Twitter, my friend?
They can follow me at Steven, STEPHENSDN, in all caps, _ on Twitter.
There you have it, guys. Our beat writer for the Washington Nationals, Steven, SDN. That's Steven, N, and then, you know, I don't know what the N stands for. _ on the Twitter. Thank you, Steven, for calling in very much. Hope we talk to you next week, my friend. Thanks for calling in. 347-637-3859 is number to call in. We are live here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Micah, it feels really good to be on an FM dial. I mean, you're out there in the Virginia area. You know, is this a big step for everybody?
I mean, when you're on the FM dial, you're heard in more places at more times a day. You got people who can call in. It's a big push for any radio station, any sports radio station as that, because sometimes, you know, I'm going up and down the highways and byways, I want to listen to my sports, and I can't because it's on the AM stations, and sometimes the mountains aren't too friendly to AM stations, so, you know, when I can find a FM dial, let me tell you, man, it makes driving long times all worthwhile.
Well, guys, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP Hopewell. Now, Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Fox Sports Radio.
Is your back bothering you, even right now? At the end of the day, do you feel tension in your back or neck? It's possible that the years of playing sports, carrying your kids, gardening, raking, or even sitting at your computer are catching up to you. Often, it's the most simple of activities that can cause back or neck pain. Aria Family Chiropractic Centers in Colonial Heights, Petersburg, and Richmond may be able to help you live a healthy and pain-free life using only gentle, holistic spinal care. Our experienced doctors will uncover the reason you're in pain and treat you with natural solutions to your healthcare problems. To make an appointment at Aria, call 804-526-7125. Most insurance coverage, including Medicare, is accepted, providing natural solutions for a pain-free life. Call 804-526-7125. ARIYA, FamilyChiropractic.com.
The Hopewell News. We bring you more local news, local sports, club news, as well as politics, local and abroad, providing special interest stories and all of the vital information you need to keep up to date. Remember, if you have any news tips or newsworthy items, email the newsroom at editor@hopewellnews.com or call 458-8511. Subscribe today and save.
South Park Carpet Flooring Outlet and Chester Floors Superstore has the finest brands of carpet and vinyl flooring available. They offer warehouse prices to the public and have the largest selection of remnants for purchase. Expert installation, normally the next business day for both residential and commercial work. Call or visit South Park Carpet at 860 West Rosslyn Road, off I-95 at exit 53 in Colonial Heights, Virginia. Call them at 804-520-2763 or 804-748-4990.
You probably don't think about your car loan very often. That is, until you get ready to pay that monthly bill. That's when you start to think about the steep payment, and the bright shine on that new car gets a little dimmer. What if I told you there's a community credit union that can refinance your current auto loan and save you money? You'd be pretty happy, I expect. You've already heard Fort Lee Federal Credit Union offers low loan rates on car purchases. But that doesn't do you much good if you've already bought your car. Well, guess what? They'll also refinance your existing car loan, which could save you a pretty penny. Visit FortLeeCU.org to learn more. Fort Lee Federal Credit Union. We have heart. You can bank on it.
Federally insured by NCUA. Membership eligibility required to join and to apply for loans. Membership fee of $1 plus a $25 share account deposit refundable at account closing. Certain restrictions and credit qualifications apply.
Commonwealth Dentistry, located at 456 Charles Dimmock Parkway in Colonial Heights and on 4th and Broadway in Hopewell, provide trusted and comfortable dental care for the entire family. Doctors Beltrami, Dixon, and Stafford and their staff provide only the best that modern dentistry has to offer. They use the latest in technology and procedures to provide your care. They specialize in children, family, and cosmetic dentistry, crowns on your first visit, and teeth implants. They keep up with the latest dental procedures and pride themselves on patient care. They accept many dental insurance plans. Call now for your appointment at 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. Why Commonwealth Dentistry? They are simply the best. That number again is 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. This is Wynn Hasty. Take it from me. I go there.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
347-637-3859 is the number to call in right here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Sorry about that, guys. I was trying out something different. My crew said, hey, what are you doing? This is the barbershop, damn it. We make and sell bootlegs, but we can't sound bootlegs. So I'm back. I got my microphone fixed. Hold on. Let me check it out. 1-2, 1-2. Can you hear me now, girl? Can you hear me clearly?
You sound perfect. You sound like the Mike Knox of old.
All right, well, of old, what are you trying to say? I'm old or something right now? Right now? I'm not sure about the sound of that. Well, right now, let's talk about this right here, right now. The NFL draft happened over the weekend. They've had some grades come out, guys. Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, our own Mrs. Curls did her thing and gave a review. We have the pundits that have their reviews at up as well of these NFL drafts. We got, I looked at NFL networks. Have any of you guys follow NFL Network? They gave everybody an A, it seemed like, or it appeared as, other than, Chicago Bears, right? Like, how can you give the Chicago Bears an A, right? After moving up one slot to take Matt Trubisky. In the draft, but they do have the DMVs on Baltimore Ravens, gave them a B minus, picking up the corner Marlon Humphreys from Alabama, as well as the edge rusher Mr. Tyrus Browser from Michigan, or Michigan defensive tackle.
Houston.
I'm sorry,
Houston.
Yeah, Houston, and Michigan Houston. Defensive tackle Chris Wormley in the third round. Gave them a B minus. They gave the how do you feel about the Joe Mixon deal? They gave the Cincinnati Bengals an A, the Cleveland Browns an A, the Dallas Cowgirls. I'm sorry, old habits die young. The Dallas Tony Romo and the Romo sexuals are not there anymore because he's a B minus. Green Bay, the Packers of Green Bay an A. Houston, this was kind of shocking me. This is on Fox Sports Radio or FoxSports.com. Gave the Houston Texans a C plus in this draft. They gave your Indianapolis Colts a B, Micah. Also, teams that's in the NFC right now, they gave the New Orleans Saints a B. They gave the New York Giants a C. Huggos of No Foul Play Zone a C plus to the Jets. I thought Jamal Adams taking him and having him fall where he fell at for them, to me, that's an A right there. He, to me, was the best player in the draft. The Philadelphia Eagles, they gave a B plus to as they picked up pass rusher Derek Barnett. Took a risk at the corner from Washington, Sidney Jones, who before the injury, most people thought he was a top three corner in this draft. And they gave the Washington Redskins, this is the part that, you know, we've got to talk about and focus on more, a B overall grade. They gave the Redskins their first two picks, Jonathan Allen, as well as UCLA's cornerback, Fabian.
Ryan Anderson.
I'm sorry. And so let me start with you, Wally, with this one. The NFL Network, as well as, CBS.com and FoxSports.com gave the Washington Redskins vote a B in the draft. How do you feel about the Washington Redskins draft overall?
I thought it was a good draft. I thought that, again, in the second round, I would have went after Zach Cunningham out of Vanderbilt instead of going after Ryan Anderson. I know they wanted Tim Anderson. They didn't get Tim Anderson. So in that aspect, I think that I don't think it's not Tim Williams. I think it's Williams. I'm sorry, not Anderson. Tim Williams. They couldn't get him the other outside backer from Alabama. I believe he went to Baltimore. I think he went to Baltimore. Tim Williams. Did he go to Baltimore?
Tim Williams. I gotta go back because this list is so goddamn
long. Okay, don't worry
about
it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, I think their draft was good. I still don't think that they can go into this season having Will Compton or Mason Foster play one of those two play alongside Zach Brown. I feel like they need more range in that position.
Tim Williams. They picked up Tim Williams in the fourth round. He was a fourth round
Tim
pick
Williams.
From Baltimore.
Oh, you Tim Williams?
So, fourth round.
They skipped up on him. All right. But I just think that, they skipped up on him. But I would have drafted him. If they went outside, I would have took him. But, again, I have no problem with Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson played for Alabama. He rushed the pass. He made plays. Still looking for – the Redskins are looking for a guy that they can play in third down and who can get – because Ryan Kerrigan, though, is a guy who's got double-figure sack records. Double-figure sack numbers. He's a guy that tends to get, like, the wasted sack. Like, he's not a guy that creates havoc. He's a guy that if the situation – is on his side that he can get sacked, a la if a star left tackle is hurt, he can kind of take over. But usually he's a guy that if you watch him on film, he can be blocked fairly easy. So they've always been looking for a guy who can rush the passer and create havoc. And that it doesn't always, add up in the sacks, the guy who can give you a bunch of pressures. So I get that, and I like the pick. I like getting Moreau from UCLA, the cornerback. He's a guy that had a first round grade, but because of the pectoral injury, he slid all the way to the third round. So I think you got value there. I actually like the kid out of Georgia State. I think he'll probably make it as a special teamer, but I think I can see him having some type of impact on some packages on offense. Plays wide receivers, about 6'3", ran a 4.35, was Georgia State's best receiver. One of their all-time best receivers, and had – Heck, I'm not going to say he's going to be the next Julio Jones, but his workouts were comparable to Julio Jones. So I think that's a guy with upside. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but it's a guy with upside. So I get the B. I'm for a B. I think the Redskins would have had an A-plus draft if they got an inside linebacker.
And yeah, see, that's what a lot of people were talking about there while, you know, some guys, when I was looking at some of the draft grades from some of the pundits, so one of the things they were talking about was that they wish they didn't, that they wish they addressed the defensive line more. And I thought they actually did that with some of the picks that they already had, and they can give, you know, like you said, Ryan Kerrion can be easily blocked, but sometimes, you know, sack totals show up for certain guys who are extra athletic because there's other guys on that defensive line that disrupts the plays, that causes the distraction necessary for that guy who's extra athletic to get the sack. So I think some of their defensive picks, as far as what they did put on the defensive line, is going to do well for them. My question to you is this. There's a lot of talk about a running back who I don't feel should be talked about because the situation that happened – happened 3 years ago, and to still hold someone accountable and to define them by one single choice, I think it's kind of unfair to people. If he had a pattern of behavior that was like that, along with that incident, then I would feel what they say. But there was another running back behind Joe Mixon in Oklahoma that the Redskins took, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And supposedly this guy, while he may not be necessarily Joe Mixon level of talent, but he's supposed to be a nasty, disgusting, I'm going to get in your face and run you over type of runner that that some people in around the Redskins and deep wires and stuff, especially one Matt Jones who writes for the Washington Post, thinks that the running backs who are currently in Washington should watch their back for this guy. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head. I had his name.
T-Ron.
Yeah. So they really give him confidence that he's a nasty kind of runner that can really work that system, and that Jay Gruden is pretty high on him and what he can bring to the table. And it seems like to him, Jay and Scott McLuhan, when Scott was there, they wanted to bring in tough, gritty, you know, the throwback type football players that can really ram it down your throat, pause. And do you see a lot of that kind of player that the Redskins have picked in this draft, people who are very gritty, people who can actually, you know, they're meathead, so to speak, the stereotypical football player, a meathead that will get the job done physically if asked to?
No, I mean, I like T-Ron. I think T-Ron is a guy that's physical. He's Oklahoma's all-time leading rusher. And we're talking about they had DeMarco Murray, Adrian Peterson, just to name a few. So you know that he can run. He's a physical guy. I'm curious to see how he's going to work out. How he's going to work out in DC, knowing that you got, I mean, he's very similar to Fat Rob. But I agree, it's going to be a running back competition between Fat Rob and P-Ron, because between those two, they're going to be the guys that get 18 to 20 carries, depending on who's going to win out that competition.
So was 12 play out of the question? So R. Kelly gets no play in the Washington Redskins backfield?
No.
It's between Fat Rob.
It's a competition. That's probably, yeah, P-Ron, R. Kelly, Fat Rob is R. Kelly. But between those two, they're going to, you know, they're going to compete. And whoever wins is going to be the power back, the guy that gets the workhorse, of that backfield. But, yeah, he has an opportunity. We'll see what he can do. To me, Jay Gruden has always been more pro. If you watch him in Cincinnati, he's always been pro scat back when you see, like, a Thompson. So I'm always kind of interested to see how, if they want to be physical, see how that's going to work out. Because if you look at Jay Gruden's track record, he's always been enamored with more of the finesse running back.
347-637-3859. So when you look at the Washington Redskins draft, when you look at the bigger guys that were taken off the board, Wally, as well as you, Micah, taking Jonathan Allen, taking Ryan Anderson, taking the corner from UCLA, Jeremy Sprinkle, the tight end late in the fifth round. Is this something that you think that's positive for the Washington Redskins, Micah?
Well, I mean, the only thing, when I look at what the Washington Redskins did, my only question is, cool, they got all that. Did they address seriously the depth that they need on the offensive line? You know, like is what I say all the time, when things start in the trenches, and, you know, and good football teams have very good trenches. They have a very good O-line or a very good D-line. And I'm trying to figure out which one of these guys really addressed that issue. You know, I can see why the B rating is there. I think that they would have gotten an A had I can't fault the Redskins for not taking a lot at the O-line.
excuse me, because the O-line, as far as the depth in the offensive linemen in this draft, it was kind of, let's see, what's the best way I can say it? Meh, very meh. You know, you weren't getting a standout O-lineman in this draft, like talking about. That's why, you know, I think Denver pretty much picked up the only guy that was worth anything when it comes down to it. And, you know, that's kind of what I feel with that, Mike. And also, I found it interesting, but not interesting at the same time. They didn't necessarily need a quarterback. I understand that this draft class, for a lot of people, didn't have necessarily all the best quarterbacks to pick from. But I found it funny that they didn't pick a quarterback or try to see if they can get a quarterback to kind of nip at Kirk Cousins' heels because, you know, they have been sending mixed messages about Kirk Cousins and his future between just paying him just the money just for year to year versus giving him a long-term contract. I don't know if they're going to try to do a long-term contract with him this year, but no matter what they've done in this draft, until they really shore up that quarterback position, I can't trust that the Redskins is going to be a competitive franchise for after Kirk Cousins leaves. Because I think Kirk Cousins is going to get them somewhat competitive, but I think if they don't have something in stone that says, okay, this is our guy, we're going to roll with him, we're going to build around him and do right by him in this way, then, you know. But as they address the defense, my question for Wally, because he understands Joe Barry and Joe Barry Light better than I do, Joe Barry Light, I mean, Greg Minuski, he's going to have some talent that's a little bit better than what Joe Barry had. Does that mean that his scheme was going to be better, or do you think the scheme is still going to be pretty much the same or similar?
It's going to be different. Minuski's more of a physical, in-your-face type of guy. Joe Barry's more schematic. What I mean by that is he doesn't make anything as simple as you want to make it. You know what I mean? So Minuski's going to have, I believe, Tom Sula's on the staff too. So it's going to be more that San Francisco-style base offense, the way we saw San Francisco play when they had Patrick Willis, and Ballman. So you're going to see that type of style. It's going to be a better style, to be honest with you. And if you think about it, how they're trying to build the team, they got Zach Brown, they got Allen. Allen can be like Justin Smith, or how they utilize Justin Smith in San Francisco. Brown could be like how they utilize either Ballman or Willis. Pass rushing on the edge, you got they got the kid like Ryan Anderson, so they're trying to make him out to be like an Alden Smith or something like that. So they're working. What they're trying to do is build their team like they build San Fran, and even the cornerback play, getting a Monroe, a guy that's a bigger cornerback, just like they had with over there with Carlos Rogers and company. And you got Norman and Breland, so you already have a decent set. And you got Fuller, who just played his first year, and hopefully he gets better. So they're building this team more towards the San Francisco style of defense. And don't forget, even, I know we talk about the safety play. San Francisco, they had two physical safeties back then with Golston and Whitaker. Dante Whitner. And then you look over here, you got Swearinger and Sue Craven, two physical safeties. So this team is trying to build like a San Francisco's defense. So I don't think it's like Joe Barry. Joe Barry's never had a track record in terms of having a good defense. While I could say that Minuski had a track record because he was on that San Francisco staff.
Well, they gave the NFL Network, NFL.com, I'm sorry, as well as Fox Sports Radio, Curl and Pumps, gave them a B as a overall grade for the Washington Redskins. Before you give us the grade that you give them, were you also satisfied with the offensive parts of this draft and then moving forward? And I want people to take a perspective. It's a draft, people. That means they're prospects. That means they have their potential. You're looking at what you saw in college versus what they can equate to in the NFL, okay? Because at the end of the day, they can all be bust, okay? That's what it is. Mike Williams, although one of them in Philadelphia, can be a bust. And in San Diego, we don't know. We're talking about, you know, what we perceive them to be. Wally, they gave them a B. What would you give the overall letter grade for the draft for the Washington Redskins?
I give them a B. I don't think that's all. I give them a B in terms of, I think they did what they were supposed to do. Offensively, I didn't want them to draft anybody, to be honest with you. I thought all the
you wanted Jahlil Peppers.
Yeah, I didn't want Jahlil Peppers. I knew what I really wanted. I didn't want Peppers. I love Peppers, but I didn't want Peppers. I wanted Foster. Like, I wanted Foster. I wanted to trade back and get Foster. Like, I wanted Foster bad. But when Allen, I didn't think Allen was going to slip. I didn't think Allen was going to slip to 17. I knew Foster was going to slip. Like, I knew that. I'm talking that. That's Ray Lewis talent or Luke Kuechly talent drop into your hands. Like, you got it. Like, in my mind, I was like, yes. So I wanted Foster. But when you gave me Allen, I was like, dang, you got Allen? Well, Allen is the next big stud on the front four. Like, you can rotate him. You can play him in a D tackle end. Like, you can move him around. Like I mentioned, Justin Smith, who played for the Niners. Like, you could do a lot with Allen. So, I mean, I'm not mad at getting Allen. But if I was the Redskins, like, what I would have done is that once I got Allen, I would have got greedy and I would have got back in the first round and got Foster. And that would have been an A+. That would have been, and to me, that would have been good enough to make the draft an A. Like, nothing else would have mattered.
Looking at the draft the way it is right now, and how the Washington Redskins pan out, did they do enough for Captain Kirk Cousins?
I mean, they had enough. They did enough for him in the offseason. I don't like enough for him in terms of people they brought in on the off. Once they lost Deshaun Jackson and Pierre Garçon, I think getting Terrell Pryor was definitely something was good. So you still got Vernon Davis, and you brought Vernon Davis back. You got Jordan Reed. I'm proudest on the team. Offensively, I think they've done enough to make him happy. Like, that's not an issue. And they brought in an extra running back to help him out. So when I look at Kirk Cousins, his offense is not going to be the problem. If he struggles, that's on him. That's not the issue. Whatever everybody hears about this team and why this team didn't make the postseason is because of defense. So they did what they needed to do defensively. So there's no excuses. Like, if this defense is according to the so-called experts, if this team is 2 inches better defensively, they're a playoff team. Well, they'll be 2 inches better. So let's see, they're a playoff team.
Are they better than they were last year, and can they compete for the division versus the Dallas Cowboys? That's the bigger question.
That's a great question. That's what it is. They're better than they were last year, and they should be able to compete with the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? It's all about performance. I mean, you put up numbers. You put up godly numbers offensively. Now, if this defense can get down to 15, right, in the NFL, just 15, they should be good enough to compete for the division. So I'm on the side saying, they should be able to compete with the Dallas Cowboys.
347-637-3859. Micah, you are the lone. I still don't know, and maybe we don't have enough time in the program to understand how you became an Indianapolis Colts fan. Are you happy with your Colts draft?
Of course I'm happy with what my Colts did. What's the one thing that we really needed?
Everything.
We got quarterback. Yeah, we pretty much needed everything. I will say this. I will definitely say this. Mr. Ballard, you now have my trust. You actually decided to draft in a smart way. We don't have to worry about depending on Frank Gore for our actual running game. I appreciate that. You actually gave us something that we were missing with a defensive-minded head coach. And that was actual players to help us on defense. I mean, hey, you know, we have the best quarterback in the AFC South, and that's probably going to change if Deshaun Watson is on his game with Bill O'Brien's system. But I'm still confident that at least with the defensive side of the ball, is what we needed. You know, that's what I'm happy about. You know, we got a nice big quarterback. We got Malik Hooker. Now, granted, I understand that Hooker has first of all, a funny last name. Just please.
His name is Hooker.
Just please don't date anything that looks like your last name. We will call you out and we will laugh because that's just what people do on social media these days. But anyway, we see that he has some efficiencies doing certain things at his position. You know, sometimes he'll miss a tackle. You know, he's quick, but maybe not that quick, you know, as he could be. But, you know, I think as far as what we had, we upgraded. So I'm fine with that. It's malleable talent, so to speak. So he can be molded, especially with Chuck Pagano, who's a defensive-minded guy. He's had some stuff before. So I'm glad we got a cornerback because we need somebody to help
Because Vontae can't do everything on his own, man. He can't do everything on his own. That was pretty much that. He was one of the four best players we had last year, you know. And there were four. It was our punter. It was him. It was Luck. And it was TJ.
Well,
and it was
he just mentioned the kicker. He just mentioned the best player.
I'm gonna need him not to shortchange Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck by far is the best quarterback. Don't even mention Watson and Andrew Luck in the same sentence.
I'm saying if he gets, first of all, I say that he is the best quarterback in the AFC South. Period.
Okay.
I'm saying that he's in trouble if Deshaun Watson gets stuff together.
Don't worry about it. He won't be in trouble. He won't be in trouble. Luck won't be in trouble. That defense
is going to be in trouble against that Houston Texans defense.
The Houston Texans defense is the trouble. I like Deshaun Watson, but Andrew Luck needs help. He just needs help. That's all.
He needs God. That's what.
Did you say he needs God?
He needs God to intervene in this, because you know, for the linebackers that we got and the cornerbacks that we got, you know, the defensive tackle that we got, you know, we got a lot of things on the defensive side. I'm still trying to figure out where's the offensive line.
Exactly.
Where is the one thing that you need beyond anything else? And I understand, like I said before, I understand this was a defensive heavy draft, not a lot of good O-line prospects. Can a brother get somebody in free agency? Have we forgotten that? Is there someone on the street?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Hire me. I'll be the center. I'm short, but that's okay. I'm still stopped. They can't just knock me over no matter how strong they are. You need somebody to check my boy.
Micah, okay. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It's Indianapolis, bruh. Just like Cleveland. Who wants to play in Indianapolis? Exactly. It's the Indianapolis Colts. Peyton Manning's not there. Andrew Luck has done absolutely next to nothing. So what? How?
What do you mean next to nothing? Wait. AFC championship is nothing.
And being the first overall draft pick to win 33 first
no,
3 games and lose
look
the game ain't
nothing.
I don't mean to downplay Andrew Luck. That is not the approach in which I'm trying to take.
I'm just saying
overall, this isn't Miami where LeBron just wanted to play with his friends. It's Indianapolis. Who wants to go to Indianapolis? It's like Cleveland.
Now you sound like Colin Cowherd.
Same thing. Don't you ever compare me to that cohort of ours? That's just wrong. I thought you was my brother.
Hey, yo, you did it, bro. You did a Colin Cowherd type argument where he said only good players want to play in places like Tampa Bay, you know, where beaches, sun, you know, good weather, hot chicks, you know, they want to play there.
At
they want to play
Tampa
in Indianapolis.
Bay's in Florida. Indianapolis is in the middle of nowhere.
It is.
Stop it. Just stop it. Moving on real fast. Because we got to talk about it because, damn it, I'm a host and I'm an Eagles fan. Wally, I'm going to stay out of this one because I can have my feelings in the way. People say, Mike Knox, you can't be objective. And I go, yes, I can. Sidney Jones, before the injury, was a top 4 to 5 cornerback in this draft. The Eagles take the risk of getting him. He had the Achilles injury. But he did not have an Achilles injury like other guys have had, where it was a year rehab. He will be ready by September. They pick up Derek Barnett, the pass rusher they desperately needed. How do you feel about the Philadelphia Eagles draft, including drafting two receivers in this draft?
Oh, I like the draft. I like getting Barnett. I actually like the running back from San Diego State. I think that's a steal.
I think he's a steal.
I think he's gonna replace Sproles, and Sproles retires after this season. So I think I like that. I mean, the Eagles to me, I always look at.
They gave my A-. Both websites gave my A-.
When I break down the draft, I break it down within the off season as well, and what you signed in with the free agency.
Right.
So I look at it as a totality. I don't really look at just the players, the big time get playing time in year one. But I like what they did in terms of putting weapons around Carson Wentz. Yeah, this Carson Wentz. So you give the running back the defensive line you got now, defensive end who could you pair him with Fletcher Cox. So now the defensive line should be back, should be even better than they were last year. And it was a good defensive line last year. You got a guy who can play cornerback, a young guy. He may not be what he needs to be this season, but maybe next season. I always feel like when you have an injury, a big injury like an Achilles or an ACL injury, you don't get the best player until year two. So I believe in year two he'll be a better player. I know a lot of times we want to look at these rookies now, and that's the problem with society. We're like, we're an instant society. Like,
well,
everything has to be great now.
Philadelphia teams have to trust the process. Isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah. So, yeah, trust. You're right, though. And trust the process. I think we'll get a better indication of what the cornerback's going to do, the young man's going to do in year two. But I like their draft. To be honest with you, I'll give you one for Vaughn. I love the Dallas Cowboys draft.
That hates me the most to my core. And I know King Vaughn 7 Jr., King Vaughn Jr. 720 on Twitter was going to go. I hate it. But we had to be objective, right? The Cowboys had a good damn draft. And let's not forget to go back to last year's draft, picking up the linebacker out of another team who never played. I'm just being honest, Micah. The Cowboys their defense is 25 and under.
Yeah, their defense did stink. So they addressed what they had to address. They did what they had to do, man. I can't fault them for that. You know what else though? They had the best moment of any draft that I personally watched. They had the best moment of any draft I personally watched in my life.
Stop it!
You know that was the best troll moment ever.
No, it wasn't.
What was a better troll moment than that in NFL football?
I'm gonna tell you why it wasn't. I'm gonna tell you. First of all, I'm not gonna even answer that with a dignified answer, because this is the reason why. I said it before in this program. I'm gonna say it right now. Tweet it. Write it down. I don't give a boop. The only four teams that can talk trash are the New York Football World Champion Giants, the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and maybe, just maybe, Seattle. But those previous three teams I name them again, Pittsburgh, New York, New England, can talk trash. The Washington Redskins can't talk trash. And especially idiots shown on TV with Super Bowl championships on their arm that says 2000 can't talk trash. So the Dallas Cowboys, not America's team, cannot talk trash when they've done nothing in 25 years. I'll wait.
What have you done for me lately? Dun, 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 dun. Ooh, 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 yeah.
And who's kicking Janet Jackson out of bed? Nobody. If Janet can say, what have you done for me lately, why can't football fans? So that's why that moment was trash. Because let's be real. You can say what you want to say about Philadelphia and their fan base and blah, 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 blah. But that was the most intriguing and most exciting audience that the NFL draft has had in recent memory.
That's facts. That's factual, though.
I don't speak in hyperbole.
I was bored there. And New York was always boring every single time I watched. Oh, yeah, Jets fans, boo, ooh, whatever. Philadelphia went WWE mode on Roger Goodell and every guy that they hated. They even did the WWE thing where they put kids and, like, maybe, you know, kids, disabled people, whatever they could, in front of the guy that you don't like to try to get them over. And they still booed. It was great.
Philadelphia was amazing during this NFL draft weekend. Let me go ahead, before we move on from the NFL draft into NBA playoffs, Wally, real quick, your synopsis. Could you be disappointed in the Philadelphia fan base and the crowd that was there, 70,000 people watching a god darn draft?
No, they had a good time. Everybody was enjoying themselves. I'm all about the people enjoying the experience.
They were drunk. They were drunk.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not. Everybody was having fun. I did nothing wrong with that. They were having a good time.
So, Cowboy fans, do me a favor, and in the words of Chris Jericho, shut the hell up. Bet you Micah won't tweet that one. 347, not Micah, but Vaughn, 347-637-3859. Marquise Morris goes down to the NBA playoffs, first round of our first game of the second round for the Washington Nationals as they take on the Toothless Aggression Boston Celtics and Isaiah Toothless Aggression Thomas. Can, Wally, the Washington Wizards win this series without Marquise Morris?
They can, but he's going to play. He says he's playing, too. He's playing game, too. He's pretty much adamant about it. So he's going to play. So they won't have to ask that question. They won't have to answer that question. He'll be there for game two.
Well, if he's not 100%.
Are you saying if he's not 100%? He can still win. Yeah. Still, if he's not 100%. We're talking about Boston got Paul Millsap. Al Horford shoots J's all day. I mean, it's not the same Al Horford. So, I mean, they're predicated.
Al Horford always shot threes all day. What are you talking about? Even in Florida.
Florida, his first couple years in Atlanta, now he didn't shoot J's like that. Now he shoots J's, you know, his last 2 years in Atlanta, and now his career in Boston, he shoots jump shots all day. But they can win without Marquise Morris. I love Marquise Morris when he brings toughness, but at the end of the day, in terms of who they're playing, it's all predicated on John Wall and Bradley Beal and some of the other role players. They need to step up, and Gortat needs to step up. I think it's more of a fact that Gortat needs to step up and play at a high level. He doesn't play when at a high level. This team's going to struggle. You're going to have him on the floor. But it's all predicated on what John Wall and Bradley Beal do. John Wall has a great game and does what John Wall did like in Atlanta, the Atlanta series, that closeout game. He plays at that level where he's capable of playing. He can beat anybody. So it's all about John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter has to step up. If he plays consistent, this team would be fine. I mean, no one expected the sweep no one expected this series to be a sweep or for the Wizards to sweep Boston. So it's going to be competitive. So Boston winning game one shouldn't surprise anybody. I guess the fact that the Wizards went up 16-0 and still lost
right.
the game, you know, everybody's surprised. But if you watch the Wizards throughout the season, you know they give up big leads all the time. That's like their thing. They give up big leads. That's their, if anything, somebody had a thing to say like, hey, they like this type of chick or they love fat chicks or they love skinny chicks, medium chicks, whatever.
Hey,
you know, that's their thing. Well, the Wizards, their thing is to give up big leads. That's their thing. They give up big leads. And then they'll tell you that well, we lost track. We weren't focused. That's their motto. We weren't focused, you know. We weren't playing. We weren't paying attention to details. That's their thing. Everybody has their thing in life.
Who has to step up for them this series? Does Bradley Beal become the real? Who has to step up for them this series? Does the real deal Bradley Beal have to step up? And does maybe what I saw in this game yesterday is that when they were giving up the lead,
yeah,
I saw John Wall becoming passive. Sometimes when you watch John Wall play, he's not overly aggressive. Is that a detriment to the team or not?
No, I mean, he's a point guard, so it's always hard to kind of find out when you got to take over a game, when you got to get everybody involved. But, yeah, you do want John Wall to dominate the game. I'll say that much. And it's not always you don't always have to be a scorer to dominate a game, right? But you want John Wall to dominate a game. Like, you want him to impose his will, you know what I mean? So, to me, John Wall has to be on his A game. Like you said, Bradley Beal has to be a smart ball player. He's got to be aggressive. He has to have controlled aggression. If that makes any sense. He has to have controlled aggression. And then you have to me, in my opinion, not just relying on John Wall. You got to have people like Bogdanovich, Otto Porter. You got to have these guys, Brandon Jennings. You got to have these guys put in maximum effort and play at a high level. And to be honest with you, you got to have Gortat play like a man and not play soft.
Thank you. Play like a man, Gortat. When I saw him 3 years ago against Chicago, I said, damn, he's really outplaying Joakim Noah. And I didn't think nobody could show more heart on the court than Joakim Noah. I'm being honest. Okay? But Gortat in that series showed me, like, damn, if he plays like this, the Washington Wizards can be really deadly. This is why I picked them last year, which they came up short, to, you know, compete and contend against Cleveland. That's a big name you spoke about. We talk about John Wall. We talk about Morris. We spoke about Bradley Beal. It's about can Gortat stop the garbage buckets that you know, the Boston Celtics, Crowder, and those guys got in that second half yesterday.
And that's the thing, too. Yeah, I mean, Gortat has to play, like, you know, you got it. I'm sick and tired, I guess, in today's modern NBA.
Oh,
I'm about to
sick
vent.
And tired.
Like, I'm about to
sick
vent.
And tired.
I'm about to
all
vent.
Right. Okay.
I'm about to vent. And, you know, I mean, as a basketball coach,
you need theme music. You need theme music for it.
No, I'm good. No, I don't know Biggie, what's beef. I don't need none of that. I'm just going to just, like, go a cappella. So what I don't like is that when you play against a smaller team, a team goes small on you, automatically defenses or coaches always say, let's match up. Right? So now you let the other coach dictate pace and dictate what you're going to do. Gortat's 7 foot, all right? If they're going to go small, then pound, then Gortat get in the block and use your advantage. Use your advantage over people that try to play small on you. And if Gortat isn't man enough to do it,
not a
he's
man.
Not man enough. He's not playing it like, you know, playing hard at it or, you know, manning up on it. Then go to your bench, put in Mahimi. Well, Mahimi's hurt. Put Jason Smith in. At least if you're going to play small and play fast, put Jason Smith and then let him play with his energy because he brings a lot of energy to the table. But if Gortat's not going to be a bruiser or being a center, then, dude, go on the bench and stay there.
I'm sorry. I'm with King Vaughn Jr. 720 on Twitter. He said Gortat needs to play like a man. Tom's calling in from the West Coast with some NBA talk. Tom, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Little fireball, and we're live on Fox Sports Radio 96.9, but it's okay because, damn it, I make my own money. How you doing, Tom? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I'm just hearing you guys talk about the Wizards-Celtics. I think it's just, man, I don't know if it's just me, and I guess maybe I'm underscoring the Celtics a bit here, but this just seems like another one of those Eastern Conference playoffs where we try and create storylines when in the end the Cavs are probably just going to beat whichever team they face in the Eastern Conference Finals as quickly as they feel like beating them. It's just like the Wizards are fine, but if your series is hinging on whether Gortat is going to play like a man or not, you're not about to give anyone a run for their money because Gortat is a fine NBA basketball player, but it's like it's just the Eastern Conference playoffs. When is this going to end? It's like year after year after year, it's like these sub-50-win teams or teams that just creep over the 50-win mark and, like, they're just lining up to get slaughtered by the Cavs. Like, maybe one of these teams could take the Cavs to losing 4-2 in a series, right? But it's like
– right, six games, right.
the Wizards are – they are what they are. I mean, Beal, don't get me wrong, I thought that wasn't a great contract, but I thought it was one you had to sign, and he's put in for the first time ever a season where he's – fully healthy, and he's showing that he can be a really, really good player. I love Wall. I think Wall is one of the more underrated players in the league.
I call him Baby LeBron.
Right. But those two guys are just, I mean, you know, whoever wins this series is not beating the Cavs. So I think it could be a fun series, but the Western Conference series just had me way more excited, right? I mean, I think that Rockets
Spurs, but that's
San Antonio
all you got.
Series, can you hear me?
That's all you got is Boston Spurs.
No, I get it.
They're playing
Golden State Jazz is pretty bad. That's horrible, too. Actually, you know what? The Eastern Conference actually has more compelling series right now. It's just we're all – like, can we just go into a coma until we can watch Cavs Golden
3.
State? Because we're getting there. I mean, it's maybe the Spurs surprise me and take a game or two off of Golden State. I just don't see how the Spurs don't match up with the Warriors at all. I feel like they're going to beat the Rockets just because they match up relatively well with them because you can put Kawhi on James Harden and figure that out. But that doesn't work against the Warriors, who can literally just pop off threes and, like, if you give them an inch. But anyway, I think the Celtics Wizards series, I feel like I actually could see this going 6 or 7. I think the Celtics will win it in the end just because I think they're a better team. But I just think the Celtics are a couple years away, and in 2 years we're gonna look at the Celtics, and I'm a Lakers fan,
Celtics,
so it pains me to say this.
Tom,
but
the Celtics are going to have no one picking the draft. The number one, number three.
That's what I'm saying. But they might have they might have the number one pick, but it doesn't matter. They whether they have the first pick, the second pick, the third pick, they're going to have a high pick in the draft.
Right.
They have a lot of cap space. And then the next year, they're going to have another top five pick in the draft. I actually think the Nets will be a little better than they were last year. But they'll still be one of the worst five teams in the league. So
absolutely.
The Celtics are just not quite there yet, and I think them getting there is going to line up perfectly with LeBron's 34-year-old season where he probably starts to show. I mean, who knows? He's like a superhuman, but he should start declining at some point. I think that's where the Celtics come in. But
he's definitely a mutant.
I actually think the Raptors-Cavs series is the better one because I think – just on paper, with DeRozan, Lowry, Ibaka, Carroll, they seem to be a four.
The Clippers of the East. Yeah,
you think Kyle Lowry?
They're not.
The
Raptors' top two guys are not even in the ballpark of the LA's top two. But you're right. I mean, they're basically the Clippers of the East. That's pretty good.
I feel like in the regular season they're really good. Like I think DeRozan is now realized that he doesn't care who he plays against. He just goes at it. Kyle Lowry has a mental problem in the playoffs. This is true. He has a mental problem. It's not a secret anymore. He can't handle pressure. In the playoffs, you see it now, and it's amazing to me. That's happened like every year as a star.
You're right. There's something about Lowry in the postseason that doesn't work. I mean, I would say my big takeaway so far, because I don't think the playoffs have been very good so far, was just
not at all
the Bucks. Giannis, I mean, that's my big takeaway of the playoffs so far is that, like, that guy is going to be – I mean, who knows what the ceiling on that guy is. Like, we may look in 3 years from now, and he might be the best player in the entire league. I would say that.
You know what's funny about Giannis, watching Giannis play, is watching Scottie Pippen say, yeah, he's like me. And I go, no, Scottie, you are not like Giannis. You're not 7 foot tall being a point guard. That's not – You know, that's not what
it's.
Doing.
I mean, he's, but it's like Pippen's not stupid. I mean, Pippen was what, 6'8"?
Yeah, 6'8".
Or was he smaller? Nine. Than
that? No, he was a little bit taller, maybe 6'8", 6'9". You know, that's not me Googling anything.
I mean, Pippen was incredible. I mean, if Giannis, I actually have not heard that as a comparison. That is,
Scotty compared him to himself.
That's inaccurate.
Scotty himself. Fair. Scotty said he's like me. And I'm watching it. I'm saying, Scotty, I remember being born and raised from Chicago. And Tom, thanks for the call. That you had migraines, okay? And you stopped from whooping your arse because you had migraines, okay? That's the part that bothers me. We lost Wally there, Tom. But 347-637-3859. We're having a little shorter of a show today, as I am newly moved here to Orlando, Florida, and it's nice outside, and damn it, it's nice outside. When you're in Florida, damn it, sometimes you don't want to be on the air for 2 hours, and I can do that because I've been doing it for 9 years, okay, Micah? I can do that. Plus, you're happy, Micah. You're a new father. You're going to go rub the baby and all that good stuff while the wife naps and all that kind of stuff. Mike, I'm going to ask you a question. The new father, do you wish you could breastfeed? Be honest.
No, what a level of poverty.
Don't answer that.
I make a lot of strange jokes. That's one of the jokes I would never make. I would never feel like I actually feel. I know a lot of people think that they have that choice today. I know a lot of people feel that way. I don't.
No, I don't either. That's really crazy. Okay, I would never feel that way at all. As well, but we lost Wally. I don't know where head Wally went. It's that DC traffic, maybe. I mean, I know one thing for sure. I would never want to drive in DC. It's the worst traffic in America. And so, with that being said, people, you know what time it is, don't you? I tell you what time it is.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Mike
you
Knox.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday night. That's the only show doing a recap when it
when
goes.
It goes on.
You know how Mondays go.
Watch,
watch
it raw
first.
Wrestling
version of ESPN first and
ten.
It's for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez,
the
show covers every day. It's for the marks that just hopped in the bag. Y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad.
We're
rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me start
spitting, dude.
It's time to tune in to the show, the pros.
The pros too. Shawn Michaels, what's up? I know you're listening.
Yeah, man.
Perfect flex, yo.
Y'all know what it is.
Stop the music. We got 8 minutes left, god darn it. Last night, if you have not seen this show last night, please go to iTunes.com, Stitcher.com, wherever podcasts are sold, which, damn it, let's be honest, they're free, okay? We did our Perfect Plex Talk Radio post show last night for WWE Payback. Micah, you was not here. Myself, as well as Hugo, gave it 4.5. Y2J, Chris Jericho, undisputed title runs, holding both belts of a show last night. And yes, I'm not a hater of the House of Horrors match. It was not trash. It was not terrible, but it wasn't good either. Okay? Your thoughts real fast of Payback last night before we go ahead into Monday Night Raw preview.
Oh, yeah, man. Payback, I thought, was one of the best Raw pay-per-views that they've done in a long, long time. The right people minus, you know, Bray Wyatt's match and Y2J's match, the right people won.
Hey, that match was great. Did
you not see the ring? You're not paying attention to what I'm saying.
I listen. Go all ahead.
Right, get the alcohol out of you. I never said that Kevin Owens' Chris Jericho match wasn't great. I think it was fantastic. But I also think that Kevin Owens and SmackDown would have been a very good thing. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying
I'm
that I was
No.
The stipulation was that whoever wins
no.
the US title will be exclusive
no.
to SmackDown.
Kevin Owens is still on SmackDown. They said the winner will go to SmackDown. Never said anything about the loser going back to Raw. Kevin Owens is still on SmackDown.
So they got me on that one. See, that's why I was so confused, because I was sitting here thinking, oh, well, I guess Kevin Owens ain't going to SmackDown anymore. That's what the way they said it. It made me believe that they were not going to have.
Come on, he's the face of America. What are you talking about?
He is the new face of America. He's going to get the title back. So no problem. Okay, great. Well, it still was a confusing win nonetheless. But I see they're just going to put Jericho on SmackDown and keep that thing going. I thought every match was fantastic. I thought Alexa Bliss winning was the perfect thing for that woman to go Raw. Because you know, the one thing about Bayley that I don't like at the moment, even though there's a lot of good things to look at, and I like her wrestling set, is that she's not believable on the mic. She's good from the neck down. You leave her alone just because she has a butter face. But I would have to go with y'all on a good
butter
rating. I'll give it a four. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. A 4 out of 5. Miz never ending title race, because I thought it was very interesting, very compelling stories. And the best part of the night, I would have given it a 5 out of 5, but they made Roman Reigns look too strong. So he still lost, though. So that's always that.
Did you see the end of the pay per view where Braun Strowman tried to attack Roman Reigns after Raw went off, after the Payback went off the air? And
I heard the I'm not done yet. I was like, oh, he's not done yet. Another ambulance him. And he broke the ambulance door. I was like, wow. Man, they have booked Braun Strowman perfectly outside of him losing to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. What's WrestleMania? Yeah.
You sure? Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. It wasn't WrestleMania. It was before WrestleMania.
Sure?
Forgive me. Yeah, because it was before us. It was Fastlane.
Are you sure?
It was Fastlane when he lost to Roman Reigns.
I know that, but are you sure?
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I'm sure it's in the order. I'm sure it's
347-637-3859. Raw tonight. What's your thoughts about Monday Night Raw, Hugo?
Are you sure? Are you really sure?
Are you sure?
Are you 100%
sure? Are you sure you're Colombian?
Are you Brazilian?
Listen, man, right now I'm in heavy anesthesia right now, dude. So anything that you say will make me laugh. But Raw tonight, I want to see what they're going to do with Braun. Like Mike and I talked about it last night on the post show. What's next for Braun Strowman? And I've already told Mike this. Keep him as far away. So far, we still got 6 weeks until the next pay-per-view. So keep him away from any types of title pictures or anything like that. Just come out, destroy, hurt people, do what he has to do, and eventually get there to that next level where Brock Lesnar hopefully comes out and, you know, they obviously start challenging for the title. Another thing, I want to see what Alexa Bliss is going to get, what kind of love she is going to get, because as we know, everyone still is a Baylite. Everyone loves Bayley. So I'm wondering if we're going to see some sort of rematch clause or if Sasha Banks is going to come on and be like, I could beat you one-on-one, and then we start seeing the heel turn for Sasha Banks. Because come on, guys, it's happening. This whole thing with her being such a goody-goo with Bayley
right.
has to stop.
I got to say it. I got to say it, Mike. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you. A blind tag.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks, outside of her in-ring talent, is trash. I said it. Oh my God, that was so
hard to say. Stop talking about you, Mike has been biting his tongue on that so long.
The Oprah
that I think, like
it's just the Uyghur edges, man. She's all right. She's good.
The Oompa Loompa that is Sasha Banks is not good. She's a great wrestler, but that's all.
I agree with Mike. And that's why. Do you think it's time for her to finally get some sort of like a different direction in her character? Because I think this character is already stale. The whole boss thing's already stale. I honestly do think
she's a female Zack Ryder. She's great in the ring, but what happens after? Come on, let's be real. When I said it before, Hugo, you know this. Going back in there before Michael joined us. I hated Sasha Banks in the beginning because I said, this is a stupid gimmick. You know what I mean? She's the black version of Jersey Shore, right? With the whole Boston thing and everything that's going on, right? Once that gimmick, to me, wrestlers become wrestlers because their gimmicks can evolve. John Cena can evolve. Randy Orton can evolve. Charlotte Flair can evolve because she's not typecast as a certain type of character. Sasha Banks is typecast. That's all I'm saying. 2 minutes live on air. We will go on that overtime for those who are on live, listening on the internet. Call in right now to be part of the show. If not, we're going to go a little bit over, but that's just it to get out our Raw preview shows. But for those who don't know, just let you know right now, 1 minute, we're off air live on Fox Sports, where we will continue that later on. Okay, go ahead. Anyway, I had to get it out. I'm sorry, Sasha Banks. I love you from the neck down. You are also amazing. But your face looks, I'm sorry. This is real. This is a barbershop. We don't hold no punches. The only people all listen to barbershop are kids. We know that. You have no edges. Naomi over Sasha Banks. I said it. Kiss my arse. I don't care.
Well, you know, if you really think about it, Sasha Banks, I mean, don't get me wrong. Everyone knows that I was a huge AJ Brooks fan. I love AJ.
Yes, you were.
It is
National Masturbation
Month. AJ Brooks is fantastic. AJ Brooks is fantastic.
But you know what? But Sasha Banks is this generation. I mean, I know that, and I'm talking about generation where we're talking about AJ Brooks only about 2 years ago, but this is a new darling of the WWE that they like. You know what I mean? Because if you really think about it, they're very similar in terms of body, you know, physique, all of that. So a lot of people actually that transcended from AJ Brooks, they all love the way that Sasha Banks looks. I'm just putting that out there. Like I've noticed that comparison. But Mike, I have to agree with you though. Sasha Banks, I can't stand her gimmick. I hate the whole fake ice thing. I cannot stand it. I do love the way that she wrestles.
The fake ice.
She does work very hard.
Ice.
But just that fake ice is just terrible. And I agree with you. I'll take Naomi any day over Sasha Banks. But anyway, transcending that, I just want to see what Alexa Bliss does tonight. Obviously, we're going to see something with Sasha Banks, or we're going to see something with Bayley, obviously brewing up there. And then what's next for Samoa Joe? You said it yourself, Mike. What is next for Samoa Joe after losing to Seth Rollins? And what is next also for Seth Rollins? Because if you look at the roster, who else can he work with? I think he's already gone through basically all of the Raw roster. I mean, he could have probably done something with The Miz, but we already know that The Miz is going to do something with Finn Balor. Dean Ambrose is a face, so I don't think they're going to put Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose unless you go with Dean Ambrose, perhaps with Samoa Joe. I'm tempted to know what's going to happen with Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins both respectively.
Micah?
Well, for me, I'm actually pretty excited about that as well. I thought it was a very good way, a very strong booking for Samoa Joe. They had a very good match. It went back and forth, and the only reason why Seth was able to win was like how a lot of smaller guys beat bigger guys. They outsmarted the bigger guy. So it still keeps Samoa Joe strong. And like I said, you know, he can afford to lose. I wouldn't have been surprised if he won, you know, to set up some good booking. But, you know, the way he lost, and this is what we talked about, Mike. We talked about it. You brought this up before. The way someone loses and the way someone wins is really telling. And so I would have, like, for example, we talked about the Braun Strowman-Roman Reigns match, right? Braun Strowman winning against Roman Reigns clean was fine. The way they made it seem, though, which is exactly how it should be with the storyline, is that Roman Reigns was injured. Just to say that Roman Reigns still looks strong while injured against Braun Strowman. Had he been healthy, he probably would have beat Braun Strowman. I say this, the next time those two guys fight each other, he needs to be 100%. Braun needs to go over again to solidify Braun's position.
No,
for real.
No.
But he needs to go over a healthy Roman Reigns, bro. He needs to do it. It has to happen. And the only reason why
I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm glad you pointed that out. Because people don't remember, he didn't beat Roman clean because Roman came out injured. I like that you pointed that out. I was waiting to see if anybody else was going to say that today other than myself, and you used that. We're hyped about Braun Strowman because everybody's like, thank you, Strowman. Well, guess what? He wasn't 100%. He used every dirty tactic in the book to injure Roman Reigns. Can he beat 100% Roman Reigns? Good question, Micah.
Exactly, and that's what leaves us with that story after the fact. And now they can go ahead and do what they've been doing with Roman. They can keep him off TV longer. If it was a blood pack that they used and he spit out blood, great. If it was real blood, I hope he gets better because, you know, all wrestlers, no matter if you like their character or hate their character, you know, they put their bodies on the line every single night. So, you know, as far as everything that he's been through personally, actually personally, to go along with an actual serious injury, I just hope that he is actually better. If that was actually legitimate broken ribs where he was coughing up blood, because that's never a safe thing for any wrestler to go through. But tonight, you know, I can't wait how they set up the women's division. Like Hugo pointed out, it's actually competitive. But at the same time, Mike, I had to believe what you said. It's gonna be a two woman race, and they're still making it seem like that Nia Jax can't destroy everybody because every single time she destroys somebody, it takes three ladies to beat her up, which is cool. But why don't just go ahead and have her just win a title and just beat everybody? I mean, what are they waiting for? Is there more compelling storylines? Is she not as over as a heel as she should be? You know, what are they waiting on, Mike? What do you think when it comes to Nia Jax, who should be women's champion by now? Because, well, she's
the way we thought the way they were building. If you go back, they both were brought up at the same time, and Nia Jax and Braun Strowman. The difference is that Strowman, before, obviously because he's a male, has gotten over a little bit more than Nia Jax. But I look at Nia Jax and I go, she's a female Braun Strowman. No one has been able to really defeat her. But, you know, we look at schoolgirls or schoolboys, if you want to put it. That's a cheesy way, but a victory nonetheless. She's still the most dominant female in the females division. Now there is no Charlotte Flair in that division. What can happen? I think it is time for her to go over, but go over Alexa Bliss, I'm not quite sure. To make her go over bigger would have been her being the one that defeated Bayley. But again, as I said on Friday's show, the SmackDown division and the Raw division, women's division should be combined because it's not enough wrestlers for them all. Too many belts for, 10 females, roughly?
Yeah.
And it's not getting the job done between the 10 females.
between the two. So merge the two divisions. But I'm a big fan of hers nonetheless, and I want to see that happen. Real fast, guys, we get out of here. We got to hit it. Let's sing it.
Try to be better, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dreams. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Best and worst of the weekend, Micah. How you? What do you think? What's for you?
All right, I'm going best. I'm going best of the weekend was Braun Strowman destroying Roman Reigns. Braun Strowman destroying anything is hilarious and funny and is worth watching. It is gold. It is gold. My worst for the weekend was a big question mark as to why Chris Jericho won that U.S. title. It wasn't really a worst. It was just like, and it was tied for the House of Horrors match. You know, the old, but I was like, I was more confused when it came to, actually, you know what? I changed that. The worst of the weekend is Bray Wyatt losing all pay-per-view match for no reason. It wasn't going to hurt Randy. Almost losing and needing help to win that match. I know they're going to further the storyline between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. But, you know, when the title wasn't on the line, you could have gave him a throwaway win clean over Randy Orton. I mean, he did all that awesome stuff in that stupid house, and then came out by himself. Randy Orton surprised him. He could have beat Randy Orton clean. He didn't need the help of the Mahal Bollywood boys, and, you know, he didn't need all that. That's just me. To me, he actually lost the match because they didn't want help. That's the worst of the weekend for me. I actually had to think about it for a second, and I realized how mad I was when I saw that. Granted, the storyline further between Mahal and Randy is going to be great. But Bray could have got that win, too, God dang it. He could have got it, too.
The best of the weekend for me was Payback. Worst of the weekend was the so-called greatest heavyweight fight of all time. Next for you. Hugo, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend was obviously seeing the top four heating up over in England in the Premier League. I cannot wait. It's 3 weeks left until the end of the season. And then the worst of the weekend is still those Real Madrid from Spain. They are the luckiest SOBs in the entire world, and they're probably going to win everything in Spain and in Europe, and they don't deserve it, Mike. You know what it is for having a team that just gets lucky because all the calls get thrown towards them? That's how it is. I'm trying to think what has happened like that here in American sports, where we've seen that the referees are always on the chip of your shoulder. It's just ridiculous.
I love it. Listen, shout out to Orlando City, my new soccer team, and my MLS Chicago. Don't be mad. I'm in Orlando.
You should go.
Did you see the crowd that they show there? Yo, that crowd.
You know what? Let's plan it. Let's make it a weekend up there. I'll go with you. I've never been to an Orlando City game, man. So I should definitely be fun. It gets intense up there.
I'm excited about going, Hugo. So you make that date, and we are going. And that's for sure. Guys, listen, it's been a wonderful day. It's been a wonderful time. We're going to cut the day short today. Like I said, I'm moving into my new home. Listen, guys, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me. And don't love God, y'all. We'll see y'all on Friday. We out of here, y'all.